I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. There comes a point in everyone's life where you have to make a choice. You make them every day. But you've got to make a choice. I'm not going back to that old nature, that old man, those old habits, those old ways. Hallelujah. I'm not going back. Everybody who has ever been in gravity or a part of gravity, would you stand up? All the children all over the building. Would you make your way to these first two rows, maybe three rows on this middle section, please? I appreciate it. You are so wonderful. We have a good bunch of young people, don't we? Amen. Come on, guys, this middle section, middle section, middle section. Get in the middle section. That's middle section too, Sister Destiny. You were okay where you were. It's all good. It's all good. Hallelujah. We're doing this right now every few weeks or so and having our young people stay down with us because we want them to be in service with us because, as Brother Baggett has said, I have said, they copy and do what you and I do. If they don't see you come to the altar and pray, why would they? They trust you. They watch you. They watch us. If we don't get out on the aisle and worship, they're not going to. You know, we have them once a week, sometimes twice a week. Many of them are not here that ride the bus usually. We have a small window of opportunity with these young people. But I'm so proud of each and every one of them. And I'm excited about what God is doing in their hearts and who and what they are going to become. Amen. Amen. We have a good bunch. Come on down. Good to see my friends. Now, if you drive through McDonald's, you're liable to see two of these ladies that just came in, smiling at the window, make you so happy, make you eat your double cheeseburger happy. Have a good day. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word this morning, I have one point I'd like to make. We're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's go down to verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and hearts to understand and give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will. Let something that has been said here today in Sunday school or worship service prick our hearts and our minds. Lord, we give you praise and glory for what you're doing in our church, in our community, in our state, in our country. We're asking your blessings and protection and guidance, wisdom, understanding in the precious name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Bump your neighbor as you're seated this morning and say, hey, you look good in the house of the Lord. Hey, look around you. Doesn't it look good in here? It feels good having everybody in here this morning. I have asked a very special friend to... Hallelujah. Is that better? I can hear it better. Wow. What was the deal? Anyway.
praise God, I'm having a great day. I can hear. I sounded like a hollow log a while ago. Amen. Are you glad to be here? Are you glad to be alive and awake and here this morning? I'm glad to be here. I have asked a special friend of mine to help out this morning. And if he would make his way down, he volunteered just cheerfully. If you could lay down here for me. You need to put your head on this side. Yeah, put your head over here. You know, I thought of you this morning. Oh, wait, lift up your head. Here you go. Right. Look at that. Lay your hand. Yeah. There you go. I need, sister, could you come help me? Let's get him covered up. You grab that side down there. Here you go. We're going to cover him up here. Yeah, cover him up. Cover him up. Y'all didn't know we were going to have a funeral this morning, did you? You know, I want to see his face. I like him. No wiggling, no moving. You can be seated. Thank you for your help. Let's see. Do you want to be buried with your boots on or off? Yeah, let's take them off. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Make sure you're comfortable there. Thank you, sir. You know, what does it mean to be dead? What does it mean? What does it mean when you're dead? Nothing bothers you? Nothing affects you anymore? You hope you go to God. What does it mean to be dead, sister? What does it mean? Not be alive? You don't breathe anymore? You don't have to worry about what color of clothes to put on this morning. If you didn't wear green, the kids will pinch the snot out of you this morning. I told Sister Baggett, if one more kid pinches me, I'm going to scream. The Bible says when you're dead, you're freed from sin. Every one of us in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, we face trials. We face temptations, we face lust, we face fleshly desires. Every week, we have to make a choice. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that old nature, that old man, that old person. I want to live for God. I want to have a great day in Christ. I want to be more than a conqueror. I want to be victorious. Now, Brother Josh this morning, just for this illustration, is playing the part of our dead person. He is no longer affected by what you say about him, what you think about him. If you like what he is wearing or not, that no longer affects Brother Josh because he's dead. There is no more concerns. I brought some things. You know, we're tempted by things in life, and we face things in life, and you know, all of us have things that we deal with, and you know, in the world. And the Bible says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." If you go down to verse 11, it says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So that old nature, that old man, that old sinner person that we all are, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hello, all of us in here are sinners from the youngest to the oldest. We've all fallen short. We all need salvation. We all need God's love and mercy and grace and Holy Ghost. We've got to have it. It helps us deal with the things in our life that maybe we have trouble with. And not to pick on any one particular person or one particular vice, but you know, some people have trouble with beer. It was just a a little sip. It won't hurt you. It's just a social drink. When I was in the eighth grade, Scott, my best friend, became an alcoholic. He had one beer, one sip of a beer. And from that day forward at a party, he would show up to practice drunk as a skunk. He would show up late. This is what convinced me I never wanted to drink. He would show up late. The coaches would make him lay down on the goal line and roll 100 yards that way, 100 yards back this way. And he would puke and roll in it. They wouldn't let him stop. You know what got my attention, though, as a young person? Scott decided to drink and drive. And Scott killed not only himself, but an entire family one day. And I realized just by that one little temptation, it got him. He couldn't control it anymore. But you see, Brother Josh, this is no longer a problem for you. You can stand it on him. You can sit it by him. You know, then there were some guys in school that they had trouble with some powdery stuff. They would snort it up their nose. But see, Brother Josh is dead now, so that no longer affects him. And then there was a group that, man, just take this pill and you'll be okay. But when you're dead, these things no longer affect you. They no longer get to you because your time here is through. You know, then there's people that, like myself, that, you know, it's just not the vices that normal people, you know, smoking, drinking, drugs. There's other things that beset us, those besetting sins. Sometimes it's a little sin that's in our mind. We can't control our thoughts. We can't control where our mind wanders. But Josh, Brother Josh, is dead now. He's freed from all sin, the Bible says. Sin will no longer affect him or get to him or tempt him. Whatever he did or lived in his life while he was still breathing, whatever choices he made, whatever decisions he made when he was alive, he will stand before God now in judgment, and the book will be opened, and he will have to account. The Bible says you will account for every idle word. Maybe the sin that you're fighting is your tongue, your mouth, words that you speak. Well, not just bad words. Well, you know, I heard Brother Gidros preach the other day. Oh, that microphone. Oh, did you see that? It didn't work. Gossip, slander, talking bad about somebody. And one I face, I fight. Let me see here. I don't like this because everybody does this. Some of us do it more than others. I like to eat. I eat too much most of the time. I can eat like a rabbit and I'll gain 5 pounds. It's the little things in life that we think, you know, because most of y'all like that, but I come to the table and I like something like this and something like this. You don't have to go back for seconds when you have this kind of spoon and this kind of plate. But the Bible says when you're dead, you're freed from sin. There is no more temptation to go have a second bowl of gumbo. I had some shrimp etouffee last Sunday. I went back for seconds. I think I was the only one at the table that went back for seconds. I don't know why. It was good. They should have gone back. Might be because I get a little bowl first to make sure I like it. I loved it. It no longer affects you when you're dead. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, you can walk by Brother Josh now. Did he move? No, he didn't move. tickle his feet, and he might move then. You know that man or woman that walks by and you, just being honest this morning. There are things that we face. Young people, there are things that you face every day in your schools. You walk down those aisles, you're facing things and you're seeing things that you shouldn't have to see. You're hearing things that you shouldn't have to hear. People are doing things in front of you that you shouldn't even be aware of. And as a society, we sit back and, well, they sure are doing a good job. Well, God bless them. At some point, we've got to stand up and draw a line in the sand and say, I won't go back. I'm not going to allow the devil to steal our young people or our children any longer. I'm not going to allow the devil to lie to their little minds and hearts and tell them they can't live for God. You can live for God. You can be a Christian. It's cool to live for God. Everything that you face, you can overcome through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. He shed his blood for you. He conquered death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, so that we might be victorious. And one day, I don't know when it's going to be, but if I'm still alive in this mortal body, this mortal flesh that I fight every single day, he's going to come back, and that old trump is going to sound, and we're going to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled saint of God. I'm a Christian. Well, you go to this to know I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Christian. If it's in the book, that's what we've got to do. We've got to die out to sin. We've got to die out to the old man. We've got to die out to the old nature of our life. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, verse 6 and 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Young people, you don't have to live in sin any longer. You make a choice every day when you get up in the morning. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do something today to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Anybody remember about the heart? Remember about your heart? You have obeyed from the heart, the scripture says. From the heart. That form of doctrine. From the heart. Which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now from January, February, and this is March, we have been talking about choices in Gravity every Tuesday night. Choices. The first month was choices of commitment. You've got to be committed. You've got to make up in your mind, I'm going to commit to this thing. I'm going to stand strong when my friends and my peers and everybody, when it's not cool, the baseball team doesn't do it. The coaches don't. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. What was the second month? What was it? Commitment. And then? Let's see, it's February 14th. There's chocolate, there's hearts, commitment. Love. Choices of love. I choose to love God because He first loved me. He died on Calvary for me before I was ever even here. He knew what I would face. He knew what you would face. Love. And then this month has been what?
Salvation.
You know what you've got to have? You've got to have the Holy Ghost. You've got to reach down, and at some point in your life, parents, adults, this is for you too. At some point in your life, go to Acts 2, verse 37. Acts 2, verse 37. At some point in your life, you've got to come to the realization, hey, I'm not what I'm supposed to be. What must I do to be saved? What do I need to do? What needs to happen to me before I get to this state and I'm dead and I'm gone? And there is no more choices at this point. Right now you have a choice. But when you get here, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death cometh the judgment. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, have you been listening this morning? Can you hear me now? Have you heard this? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. There's the heart word again. See, it matters what's in your heart. It matters what's... Everybody touch your heart. Touch your heart, kids. Touch your heart. Touch your heart. Touch your heart. Is it beating? Is it ticking? I hope so, because if it's not, you're going to be up here. It's ticking, right? They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we have to do? Then Peter said unto them, verse 38, repent, be baptized, every one of you. You've got to repent. You've got to say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Jesus, I'm not going to take those pills anymore. And I'm not going to deal with the alcohol. And I'm not going to deal with the smoking. And I'm not going to deal with the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the pride of life anymore. Jesus, I need